Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read one passage of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 in the New Living Translation. Let's go. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Can we read it one more time? Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Amen. I mean, it's been a crazy week, church. It's been a crazy, crazy week. And just want to echo what Pastor Kevin said. We are so grateful to each and every person that came through. At some point on, I think it was on Wednesday, you know, we were standing here with Pastor Don looking at the waters. And that moment felt very hopeless, I have to say. Now, the man of God had faith, but it felt very hopeless, you know, and it's like, what are we going to do? And just to see how God came through for us. God truly, truly came through. He kept our staff safe. You know, we were worried about all our power things and our equipment. And, you know, we had experts out here looking at everything. And Murag was like, we are fine. But we are so, so grateful to the Lord for his goodness, for his faithfulness. And in the middle of all that, it was on Thursday. You know, I was looking at this and telling myself, this 2024 is still the year of our breakthroughs extended. It's still the year of our breakthroughs extended. You know, one of the interesting things about this word breakthrough, I don't know if you remember last year when Pastor was introducing the word, the root of it actually is water. It's like when water breaks through a barrier. It's like when water breaks through a barrier. Perazim, breakthrough. But it's still the year of our breakthroughs extended. I know many of us in this room have received mighty breakthroughs so far. I know many are still in faith waiting. But the reality about what we are believing for, this is a reality, is that all of it hangs on God being who he says he is. Our entire hope, our entire expectation, our whole faith is 100% based on we believe God, we believe who he is, we believe what he has said, we believe his ability to come through for us. I don't know how many of you have ever had the experience where, you know, you finished high school or campus, and then you've gone for these events with your parents, and then you meet your uncles, and they say, hey, umemaliza shule? Say, yeah. And they tell you, send me your CV. I'll see what I can do. All right? And how many of you are still waiting years later to see what he can do? Worse still, how many of us have grown up to become those uncles? Send me your CV. Thank God that our God is not like that. The God we serve is dependable. The God we serve doesn't forget our CVs. It doesn't forget our address. It doesn't get so busy that he forgets to attend to us. And so today I want to talk to us about the God you can depend on. Come on, church. We serve a God that you can depend on. A God that you can take to the bank. Our scripture from Deuteronomy is the 7th chapter, or what is Moses' final instructions to Israel. They're about to enter the promised land. It's early on in his treatise. He goes on for another 23 chapters. But over and over, he takes time to remind them that their God is God. That they're not confused this God with any other idols, any other God that they will see in the land that they're going into. And he also reminds them that this God is a dependable God who keeps his covenant. Now, it's important for us to note that at this point, many of the people who had made the journey to the promised land had died. And there were quite a number of new generation people. And so Moses does the work of going over the story. He begins to tell them what happened, how they left Egypt, what God did, and about the rivers they crossed and the people they fought. Because he knew they needed to see how far God had brought them so that they have an understanding that it is God who did it for them. You see, Moses knew, as we should, that unless we absolutely depend on God, unless we put ourselves absolutely at his mercy, lean fully on his help, we will soon be in trouble. The breakthroughs extended that we are waiting for, where are we expecting them to come from? We are not depending on any man. We are not depending on our own plans. We are not depending on luck and fortune. We've been hearing the last couple of weeks, keep the fight, keep the faith. Respond to the world even when they persecute us. Why? Because we have a God that we can depend on. So how do we depend on this God? How do we settle ourselves in his ability? Number one, trust his faithfulness. Trust his faithfulness. You see, our God can be depended upon because he is a faithful God. In our opening scripture, the word faithful there is a Hebrew word, oman. Oman. Like most Hebrew words, it has a picture in it, and it means a bunch of things. It means to support. It means to build up. It means established, uphold. It means something that can be leant on or builded on. It's a participle with a gerundive force. Gerundive is an adjective that has a necessity of action. That's your word for the day. Who shows himself one to be trusted by his deeds. That's the faithful God that we serve. That he has shown himself that he is one to be trusted by his deeds. He is a God that we can depend upon. He's a God that we can lean upon. He's a God that we can build on. This is the same word that we get the word amen from. It is so. He is so. If he has said it, he has said it. This word speaks of reliability, of sureness, of stability, of continuous, of trustworthiness. That's who God is. Church, the faithfulness of God is steady and sure. He's not this way in the morning and this other way in the evening. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful when things are great and he's faithful when they are not. His faithfulness is not changed by our circumstances or even our faithlessness. He remains faithful through it all. Jeremiah declares it in Lamentations 3 that it is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness. Great and beyond measure. Through the ages, people have declared the faithfulness of God. That is why a man who had lost everything, who was at the lowest point in his life, could sit down and begin to write, great is thy faithfulness, oh Lord, my Savior. There is no shadow of turning with thee. He saw the faithfulness of God at the lowest point of his life. Generations later, others would sing, the God on the mountain is the God of the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. Come on. And the God of the good times. Oh, he's the God of the bad times. The God of the day is the God of the night. He's faithful through and through. That's why today we can sing, Tumeuona. We have seen the faithfulness of God. He is a constant, steady, faithful presence. His faithfulness endures forever. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. His faithfulness is a shield, a buckler, a rampant for us. That's how faithful God is. Now, faithfulness is one of those attributes that is proven by past deeds.
That's why Moses had to recount the journey for the children of Israel, so he could remind them all the things that God had done for them, and that in that they will see the faithfulness of God. He reminds them that what great nation has a God as near to them as ours, that when we call him, he just answers. So maybe this week, church, you are sitting on top of your table with your house flooded, wondering about the goodness of God. Maybe you are soaking wet, walking home, wondering what happened to the car you've been waiting for. Maybe you're sitting in this service today with no idea how your children are going to school tomorrow, overwhelmed by all that's ahead of you, and you found yourself losing confidence in the faithfulness of God. I want to remind you, my friend, you can trust in his faithfulness. Even if the moment may be trying, cast your eyes back. See how he's been there. At every turn, at every joint, at every juncture, see how he has held you and lifted you and walked with you. And remember that our God is faithful. One of the interesting meanings of this word, Oman, is to be carried as by a nurse. I love that picture. Because a nurse is there with you, steady through all the processes, in the good and the bad. He walks with you. He's there when you call. He's attending when you don't know what's going on. He's giving you medicine at the appropriate time. He's keeping you alive. He's faithful in caring for you. Our God is carrying us always, faithfully caring for us. You can trust, church, that as he has been faithful in the past, he will continue to be faithful to you. Secondly, how do we depend on this dependable God? Expect his deliverance. Expect his deliverance. One of the things I love about God is that we can depend on him to come to our rescue. In fact, he specializes in it. You know, we're all familiar with superheroes. You know, anytime there's a situation, we yearn for a rescuer. Someone who will come and deliver us out of our problems. Who will fight crime and institute justice and beat the bad guys and hack our school's computer systems to clear our grades. We want a hero. We want a hero. But as believers, we have the superhero of superheroes. In our God, we have a dependable deliverer. Psalm 46:1 tells us that our God is a very present help in times of trouble. I like the NLT says, he is always ready to help. Our God is always ready to help. In Psalm 34, we read that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Each time. Each time, without fail. What a declaration. The world will serve us many challenges, many difficult situations, many troubles, but each time, church, we can depend on the Lord to come to our rescue. He will rescue us from prison, as he did Paul and Silas. He will rescue us from the attacks of people and the enemy, as he did Elijah. He will rescue us from the sorrow of death, as he did Jairus. He will rescue us from blindness, as he did Bartimaeus. He will rescue us from debilitating disease, as he did the woman with the issue of blood. He will rescue us. He will rescue us. He will come through for us. And I know many of us in this day and age operate with the mantra that the best way to avoid disappointment is to expect nothing. Zephaniah chapter 1. God is telling the prophet to go tell the people that I am coming to punish these people who've become complacent because they sit there saying, the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. No, that's not us. Raise your faith. Raise your expectation. Expect God. Expect the Lord to come through for you. So many are in tough situations that you've given up on deliverance for. Expect the Lord to come through for you. Activate your faith once again. Activate your expectation once again. Expect the Lord to come and rescue your home. Expect the Lord to come and rescue your marriage. Expect the Lord to come and rescue your children from the clasp of the enemy. Expect the Lord to come and rescue your reputation. Expect the Lord to come and rescue your job. Expect him today to come and rescue your very soul. He's a God that you can depend on. He's a God that has your interest at heart.
in Psalm 107. Long psalm. You should go read it. So many situations are listed. It talks about these people who are stuck in the desert with no water to drink, and they were about to die, and they had no hope. But then they called out the name of the Lord, and the Lord answered them and came through for them and provided a spring in the desert, and they were refreshed. It talks about those who go out to the ocean, and they're in their ships, and the storms rage, and they're about to be swallowed alive, and they call out the Lord and say, Lord, save us. And the Lord comes through and stops the waves and makes them quiet and rescues them over and over and over. We see God rescuing his people. That psalm ends in verse 43 by saying, those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in their history the faithful love of the Lord. What will they take to heart? All the ways that God has delivered through different circumstances, and they will learn to expect his deliverance. I want to declare today, as Isaiah declared in Isaiah 35:4, to everyone who's discouraged, everyone who's faint-hearted, be strong and don't be afraid. Your God is coming to your rescue. Your God is coming to your rescue. You who've been crying out in the night for a deliverer to come, your God is coming to your rescue. You who's been wondering where your help will come from, I want to tell you today, your dependable God is coming to your rescue. He's coming to deliver you. Church, we will find it hard to trust him in difficult times if we don't believe that he is here with us, and not just able, but willing and ready to deliver us. He's not just able. His willingness is at its maximum point. He's willing to deliver us. He's willing to come through for us. One last story here. In Mark 6, this is... The story is in Mark 6, Matthew 14. Jesus feeds the 5,000, and he sends his disciples over across the lake to go to the other side. And then the Bible tells us he goes somewhere to pray. So in Mark's account, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And then in verse 48, he saw them being battered as they rowed because the wind was against them. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded. I read this story and I realized that this scripture says that he saw them being battered as they rowed. He could see them, and yet he didn't go to them until 3 a.m. He could see them fighting through the storms. They must have asked so many questions. Doesn't he care? Why did he let this happen? Why doesn't he come to our rescue? Oh, but Jesus could see, and he turns up at just the right time. And when the minute he gets into the boat, everything turns around. Listen, the storm may go on for a while. Maybe a stormy night. Maybe a confusing night. But rest assured, God sees. And he is present to rescue. He turns up and says, do not be afraid. Take courage. I am is here. I have come to your rescue. Let me say as a final note here that deliverance doesn't always come in the form of taking you away from the situation. All right? Sometimes the deliverance is just him being in the situation with you. All right? Sometimes he's just there with you. It's tough, but we're just here together. That's how he's delivering you. I mean, ask the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Those guys were thrown into the fire. That guy was thrown into the lion's den. The thing actually happened. The thing actually happened. We don't know if they felt pain when they went to the fire. We are not told. But what did he do? He turned up right there with them. So look for him, depend on him, call on him, and expect his deliverance. Finally, we can depend on this God because we can stand on his promises. We can stand on his promises. One of the most enduring elements of our dependable God is the assurance of his promises. Our opening scripture emphasizes his promise-keeping nature, that he upholds his covenant to 1,000 generations of those who love and obey him. In fact, the whole Bible is a story of God's promise running through every generation. His promise of salvation for Noah's world. His promise for Abraham and his seed. His promise over David and the coming of the Christ. His promise of salvation fulfilled at the cross. His promise for a future in heaven with him. The whole scripture is a tale of God's promises. You see, our God is a God of promise. And more, he keeps every one of them. Psalm 145 reminds us the Lord is faithful to all his promises. We read in Isaiah 55 that just as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word, says the Lord, that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. Church, every word that God has spoken will come to pass and accomplish his purpose. And oftentimes, we fail in our holding on to the promises of God because maybe it's taking so long. Or we convince ourselves that God didn't really mean it. Or even worse, we expect his promises to not come through because everybody fails. And we have been failed so many times. Someone told you they would do something for you and they didn't come through. Someone promised you and told you, you have my word. And then they didn't come through for you. And so you've become so suspicious, even of the promises of God. But Numbers 23 chastises us. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Our God is a promise keeper. He is not a man. He does not lie to you. Has he promised that this is our year of breakthroughs extended? Yes, he has. We can stand on that promise. We can expect that promise to come to fruition. We can expect his word to actually happen in our lives. What has he promised you? What has he promised you in your moments with him, in your prayers to him? What promises has he put in your heart? Has he promised you strength in your walk of salvation? He is well able to fulfill that promise. Has he promised you peace in your mind? Our God is well able to fulfill that promise. Has he promised you confidence and fortitude in your trials? He is right there fulfilling that promise. Has he promised you healing in your body? Our God is well able to fulfill that promise. Has he promised you salvation for your family? Don't let go. He's well able to fulfill that promise. You can stand on it. You can wait for it. You can expect it. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope, our expectation, the things we are waiting for, without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is faithful to his word. I just really felt that there are so many of us who God told you stuff. Years ago, he told you something so specific. He led you in such a specific direction. And what has happened is time has dulled your sight of the promise of God. You've become discouraged. You've become wearied. You've said, oh, I guess the Lord doesn't want me to have that. I want to ask you, please go to the shelf and pick it up again. The promise of God is sure. He will cause it to come to pass. At the end, the scripture that we opened with, Moses is handing over leadership to Joshua, who goes on to lead Israel to the promised land, and so on. They go through so much, things happen. Years later, Joshua is on his deathbed, and he speaks to the Israelites in Joshua 23, and he tells them, you know, with all your heart and all your soul, that not one of the good promises the Lord your God has made to you has failed. Everything was fulfilled for you. Not one promise has failed. Everything was fulfilled. Our God is a promise keeper. Our God is a promise keeper. Hold him to it. Hold on to it. You will see his promises come to pass. So church, I want us to declare together. My God is a dependable God. I can trust in his faithfulness. I can expect his deliverance. I can stand on his promise. Let's declare it one more time. Declare it with faith over your life. My God is a dependable God. I can trust in his faithfulness. I can expect his deliverance. And I can stand on his promise. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today that you're a dependable God. Oh, Father, if it were not for you, where would we be? Which other nation has a God like our God, whom when we call out to him, he leans his ears toward us and hears us and answers us? How blessed, how fortunate, how to be envied we are. Lord, we thank you today that you're a dependable God. We can build on you. We can trust that you will be faithful. I pray for those in this room today who've had occasion to question the faithfulness of God. Lord, remind us how far you've brought us from. Remind us how you have been with us all these years. Remind us how you've been such a steady help, a present help. I pray for those of us who find ourselves in a corner, Lord, unable to find a way out. Thank you that your rescue is coming to us. Lord, strengthen our hands. Strengthen our weak knees. Help us, my God, we expect your deliverance. Your rescue for us is assured. And Father, I pray for the promises that you've given each and every one of us today. Lord, that we are holding on to them, knowing that you are a promise keeper. That not one word of what you have promised us will fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.